Well, welcome. It's so good to have you all. I love you all, and I thank God for you. Tonight, we're going to get into Godly Profit, P-R-O-F-I-T. Godly Profit. Do you think it was profitable for the 12 apostles when they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, or for the about 3,000 others who received forgiveness of sins and the gift of Holy Spirit later that day? Yeah. How about somebody's not muted? If you manifested, check your mute buttons. How about for the man who had been lame from his mother's womb? That's over 40 years, and he was healed instantaneously. Do you think that was profitable for him? Or Cornelius's household, who was a Gentile? And then all the members of his household, when they heard God's word, they received the same spirit the 12 did on the day of Pentecost. Or Ananias, just a certain disciple, when he ministered to the Apostle Paul, and those scales fell from his eyes and that blindness left. Do you think there was profit in those situations? You bet it was. I bet we all had situations that we could share that God worked and ministered deliverance to us. In Romans 5, we read in verse 5. Romans 5, verse 5. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. The words Holy Ghost are pneuma hagion, and it's speaking of the gift of Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. Now we have a spirit-to-spirit relationship with God. If you recall from 1 Peter 1:23, I'm not going to turn there, it says, being born again of incorruptible seed. Isn't that wonderful? That Spirit of God in our lives is incorruptible seed. Just the same as the egg and the sperm came together and you ended up with a corruptible seed in the natural birth. God's birth of the Spirit is incorruptible seed. That makes God, God our Father. And it makes us His kids. We're members of God's household. While you're in Romans, look at Romans 8. My Romans is falling apart. Let's see here. Romans 8, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh, speaking of the old nature, they can't please God. They're not born of the Spirit of God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not what? The Spirit of Christ, He's none of His. You see that? The Spirit gives us a spirit-to-spirit relationship with God because He is Spirit. Verse 10, and if, or since, Christ is in you, the body, speaking of the old nature is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is what? It's life. Because of righteousness. Take a look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. It infuses us with life. Look at that. I'd say that's pretty profitable, wouldn't you? That's godly profit. God has given us His Word also, and He's given us the gift of Holy Spirit in the new birth, and both are profitable. For example, God has given us His Word in writing. Now we have revelation from God recorded in writing. That doesn't diminish its importance. It increases its importance. Remember Psalm 138:2? God magnified his word above what? All his name. Take another important document, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. They're in writing. It preserves those rights for us from one generation to the next. Many important, meaningful documents are written down. My high school diploma is written down. My college degrees are written down. My marriage certificate is written down. When I took the PFAL class, the Power for Abundant Living class, I signed a written card. My ordination certificate was in writing. Important documents are put in writing, and God had revelation, his word given to us to explain his will to us, and it's preserved from generation to generation. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, one I'm sure you know, chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, or it's God-breathed, and is profitable. You see that? It's profitable for doctrine. That gives us a standard for what to believe, for reproof when we're not believing it, for correction to get us back to it, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have his word in writing, and that doesn't diminish its importance. It increases it, and it gives us a permanent record of God's will. It's profitable. It's instruction in righteousness. Now, don't turn to these. I'm just going to read them to you so we can get through them quickly. 1 Timothy 2:4. It's our reference for truth, and God would have all men come to a knowledge of the truth. In Romans 15:4, God gave us his word, those things written beforehand for our learning. In 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4, his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us great and precious promises. In Ephesians, you can look at this one, Ephesians 1, let's pick it up in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why? So that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and so on. That's pretty fantastic. Spiritual wisdom and revelation knowledge, so our understanding can be enlightened, so that when we read those words, we can understand the revelation he's given us. Look at chapter 3. It says, verse 3, how that by revelation he, God, made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few, what? Words. Suppose he hadn't written them down, and he just told folks one-on-one. We'd have no record of it. It could have perished with time. Look at this. As I wrote afore in few words, he's speaking of chapters 1 and 1 through 3, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And here it is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Thank God he wrote it down, huh? There's great profit in that. God tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God as workmen who don't need to be ashamed by rightly dividing the word of truth. Look at Psalm 12. Go ahead, work yourself up here. Psalm 12. And in verse 6 it says, the words of the Lord are pure words. How pure? As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's as pure gets. You can't refine silver any more perfectly than seven times. God's word is full of pure words. That's right. We can take God at his word. It's profitable. Now, God has also given us the Spirit from him in the new birth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, scratch gifts, it's in italics, it's pneumatikos in the Greek, it means spiritual matters. Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. The word calleth is the same as is translated Seth at different times, S-A-I-T-H. And that no man can what? Say that Jesus is the Lord, but or except by Holy Spirit. Pneuma hagion, and the word speaking is left out by the figure of ellipsis, of omission. So you've got four times in that verse that talk about speaking by the Spirit of God. It's not to curse God, as the idolater said, and no man can really say that Jesus is their Lord except by speaking by the Holy Spirit, which is to speak in tongues. That's our proof. Verse 4, now, there are diversities of gifts. Diversities. The word diversities is diaresis, D-I-A-I-R-E-S-E-S. And it means distribution. It's the act of dividing up. There are diversities of gifts. Well, there's the gift of Holy Spirit we just read about that they received on the day of Pentecost. And there are also five gift ministries of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So there's six of them that are gifts. And they're gifts of grace. Romans 12:6 speaks of having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So there are differences or distributions of gifts, but the same what? The same Spirit. Jew and Gentile receive the same Spirit. Male and female receive the same Spirit. Whether you're young or old, you receive the same Spirit. The prophet receives the same Spirit that the born-again one from God receives. It's the same Spirit. Even if a person has a gift ministry, they still have the same new birth Spirit. You don't get more Spirit if you receive a ministry. That's right. We all have the same Holy Spirit, the same gift of Holy Spirit. There may be differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5. Now there are differences. That's the same word diaresis used as diversities in verse 4. There are differences of administrations. The word administrations is diakonia, and it means ways of serving. There are differences of ways of serving, but all serve the same what? Lord, and that's Jesus Christ. Verse 6, and there are diversities, which are distributions or acts of dividing something up. There are diversities of operations, and the word is energema, energema, energema. So there are diversities or distribution or acts of dividing up these ways of serving of effects produced, operations. Operations is energema, a work that is being done, an effect produced, an operation. The same God produces all the effects in the various manners of serving and producing effects. So it's the same God which energizes or works all in all. Isn't that wonderful? We all have the same Spirit. We have the same Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the same God which energizes all in all. That's fantastic. In the family of God, there's no segregation and there's no inferiority of the followers among God's children and no superiority of those that have ministries. Did you get that? There's no segregation and no inferiority among God's children. There's no superiority because someone has a ministry of service. It simply means that they have a greater responsibility to serve one another in love. We all serve the same Lord Jesus Christ. We all have the same God who energizes all in all the ministries as well as the gift of Holy Spirit. And then we get to verse 7. But now that sets in contrast. So we're no longer speaking of ministries or service. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Every man. Why? To profit with all. It's in the singular, not the plural. It uses the figure of speech, heterosis, exchanging the plural nine manifestations and puts it in the singular. So the emphasis here is not on the individual manifestations, but on the whole clump, the whole package. When you're born again, the gift is the spiritual ability, and it enables you to operate all nine manifestations of the Spirit. The only time you would ever think about separating the manifestations would be if you were studying or teaching regarding the manifestations. Otherwise, it's all involved in that package you received in the new birth. It's the same clump, the same package, the potential for these nine different prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, to be evidenced in your life for godly profit. And that's how they're listed. Since verse 7 speaks of the manifestation of the Spirit, and it's given to every man to profit withal, verses 8 through 10 you could set off as a parenthesis, because this is going to consider the profit that each manifestation provides you. When it says in verse 8, 4 to 1, it is referring back to the profit withal. For one prophet, you could say, is given by the Spirit the word of what? Wisdom. That's one of the nine manifestations. Well, what profit does the word of wisdom provide? Well, it gives you wisdom. What to do about a given situation? That's not bad. To another. See, these are in the dative case, so you could translate it for another. For another, and it's speaking of the prophet. So for one prophet is given by the Spirit, verse 8, the word of wisdom. For another prophet, the word of knowledge. By what? The same Spirit. It's not you get some, and I might get one, and another might not get anything. No. All of these come by the same Spirit. And it says that they're given for profit with all to every believer. You get the ability in the new birth to operate all of them. So for one prophet, to one prophet, word of wisdom. For another prophet, word of knowledge. How? By the same Spirit, verse 9. For another prophet, faith, which is pistis, believing by the same Spirit. You see that? To another, speaking of the prophet, for another prophet, the gifts of healing. How? By the same Spirit. It's all wrapped up in that one Spirit that you receive in the new birth. The difference is in the prophet, and it depends on the need at hand. We had interpretation of prophecy tonight. That was very profitable, wasn't it? There were words from God that edified, that comforted us. That's right. That's good. That's profitable. Because there are days you just live in the world and you just need to hear God's tender voice. You need his comfort, his edification, his exhortation to more worthy endeavors. That's right. In your private prayer life, we'll get to it. Speaking in tongues, hey, that's pretty profitable. For one thing, it's the proof that you have eternal life. It's the proof of your sonship as a child of God. It's the proof of your coming inheritance. That's rather profitable. Well, let's stick to the text here. So in verses 8 and 9, I believe it's four times, it says by the same Spirit. So that figure of repetition reinforces that they're by the same Spirit. Now in the next two verses coming up, it's going to be omitted by the figure of speech ellipsis, which is a figure of omission, which again adds emphasis, because you repeat something four times, your mind automatically supplies it. Verse 10, for another prophet, the working of miracles. For another, prophecy. For another, discerning of spirits. For another, kinds of tongues. for another, the interpretation of tongues. Then you can end your parenthesis. Because now we go back, like we did in verse 7. But all these, we're talking about the whole package now, all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. Boy, he couldn't be more emphatic than that, could you? Dividing to every man, and the word is idios, each his own, severally, as he will. Capitalized words were added by the translators. Leave the capital out. From the context and the structure and the Greek, it has to be as he the person will. God's already willed. And he says he's given you the manifestation of the Spirit to every man to profit with all. So in verse 11, but all these, there's nine of them mentioned, all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, that new birth Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the person, will. That's pretty fantastic. So you've got three manifestations that deal with worship. One with personal worship, which is speaking in tongues. And then you've got two that deal with worship inside the church, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Then you've got three manifestations that deal with revelation from God, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, what to do about the knowledge he gives you, and then discerning of spirits. It'll tell you whether a person is born again or a natural man. Discerning of spirits can tell you whether it's a devil spirit at work or whether the person is born again of the Spirit of God. That's profitable, trust me. No, don't trust me. And then there is the power of God given us in manifestation called miracles. Let me see here. Let me find this. Working of miracles. I'm going to read you the footnote from the Working Translation. The Greek word rendered working is a plural form of energema, E-N-E-R-G-long-E-M-A, energema, which was also used in verse 6 of operations, where effects produced. The Greek word rendered miracles is a plural form of the word dunamis, which means power, which is normally used in the plural for miracles. Together, those two words are used here to refer to the manifestation of operation of miracles, which are the effects produced by power as a manifestation of Holy Spirit. For example, when Ananias ministered to Paul and scales fell from his eyes and he could see again, that was a manifestation of miracles. When Peter and John ministered to the guy at the temple gate, Beautiful, who had been lame from birth 40-some years, and he was healed instantaneously, and he leaped up praising God. That was the working of miracles. That's another prophet, isn't it? Yes. Godly prophet is good, and God desires us to have these prophets. The manifestation of believing is believing for that revelation to come to pass at God's command. You simply believe until it's manifested. You believe the information that's given you in interpretation and prophecy. You see, the manifestation of believing is being utilized regardless of which manifestation it is, because it is to the supernatural realm that regular renewed mind believing is in the Word of God. So that's the manifestation of believing. I think that's all of them. Believing, miracles, gifts of healing. Oh, gifts of healing. It's God's will that when he reveals by revelation, he gives you the permission to minister to a specific person with a specific problem. The gifts of healing is available for their deliverance. I guess I ought to mention to you the power of attorney. I really don't have the time to get into all of it tonight. Maybe we ought to do an evening of it. But I hear people all the time talk about how God has given us the power of attorney. So it's like you're a loose cannon now. You're enabled. You can do whatever you want to do. Not even Jesus Christ had that permission. He did everything at his Father's direction. Do you remember all the times that it said that? Not as I will, but as thy will. Oh, let me see here. Where is it? John 5, I think, has a bunch of them. Let's look over there. John 5? Yeah, has some of them over there. Look at verse 19. Jesus answered, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself." Now, wait a minute. This is the guy that God opened his ear to revelation like no other man has ever gotten. And yet he says, the only begotten Son of God, that he could do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, those the Son does also. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, that's revelation, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but what? The will of the Father which hath sent me. We know that healing and good health are God's will. But in a specific situation, if you're going to have manifested power where a person is delivered, say from an incurable disease, or you raise them from the dead, or whatever, the withered arm grows back, you're going to have God's direction. And if he gives you permission, if he directs you to do that by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, then the operation of working of miracles, gifts of healing, and the manifestation of believing are in play. That's how it works. You're not a free agent that just goes off half-cocked and does whatever he wants to do. If we're going to walk effectively, we have to work at God's direction. Let me give you another one. John 8. If Jesus Christ didn't have the license to just walk around and zap anybody he wanted to with healing, then why would you think we do? John 8. Let's see here. Let's read George. Verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that what? Please him. He was a servant son. He always did his Father's will. So when he healed the man that was born blind, that was the Father's will. And he said, Son, heal him. When he healed those lepers, time and time again, they were healed because God gave him permission to minister. That's right. When he was at, where was it? The Pool of Siloam? One of those pools where they had to carry the man down to the water and he was concerned that he had no man to take him down when the waters were troubled. Remember that? Well, that place was full of sick people. But he's the only one that Jesus Christ ministered to and healed. That ought to give you some information about this right there. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for profit withal, for godly profit. That's right. We have the gift, which is the ability, the Holy Spirit, and it produces 9 various profits. And you can utilize them at God's discretion. Is there a regulator on how often you can speak in tongues? Not at all. In your private prayer life, you can pray as much as you like by speaking in tongues. How about in a church service? Do you just jump up? Does Johnny just jump up and speak in tongues and somebody else jumps up and interprets and somebody else jumps up and prophesies? No. There's an order to it. It says one at a time in 1 Corinthians 14. And as you speak, God energizes that spirit in you and gives you the words to speak as you speak. Isn't that wonderful? He's never late, whether it's interpretation of tongues or prophecy. So we have godly profit, whether it's the Word of God and it's written down, or whether it's the new birth spirit and we manifest it for 9 other various godly prophets. 7 of those manifestations of the Spirit were evidenced in the Old Testament on those whom God placed His Spirit. But only certain people had God's Spirit upon them. On and after Pentecost, every born-again one, every child of God has received the gift of Holy Spirit, which is spiritual ability that enables us to operate all 9 manifestations. So God's Word is profitable to us. It's written down. And the Spirit, when manifested, profits us. And both are vital. Both are vital if we're to walk with God and have the profit He desires for us. The Word of God instructs us in the operation of the 9 manifestations of the Spirit. There's record after record. Once we have that knowledge, then each one of us can effectively operate. The new birth Spirit does not possess us. It doesn't use us. We're not channels. We operate the 9 manifestations of the Spirit for godly profit. Now look at Luke 24. Luke 24. So it's good to have an understanding of the profit that each manifestation supplies, but remember, don't be so concerned about it. If it's the time in a worship service for interpretation of prophecy, then you know what's in play. In your individual walk, if you need information, you can ask God for it, and He may give it to you. He may give you the wisdom for that knowledge. He may tell you whether a person is a natural man, a born-again son of God, or he's got spiritual halitosis. He can tell you. And you can have that Spirit manifested that produces deliverance with miracles and gifts of healing. Take a look at Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, what's that figure of speech? Asterismos. It tells you that what's coming up is important. Listen up, ears open. For behold, I, Jesus Christ, send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be what? Endued with power from on high. Now look at Acts 1:8. Power from on high. That's what that Holy Spirit is. Power from on high. Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive, and the word receive is lambano, manifest. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses unto me. So there's another benefit, another godly prophet. That spirit is powerful. When you're witnessing, it'll work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It will, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and it will do. It can minister deliverance, gifts of healings, miracles. That's right. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Then they received it in chapter 2. And by the end of the chapter, about 3,000 others received that gift of Holy Spirit. Now look at John 14. Before Jesus Christ was arrested, suffered, and died, he made this statement to his disciples. And he said in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, means believes regarding me, the works that I do shall he do also. What works did Jesus Christ do? Well, he healed the sick, cast out devil spirits, he raised the dead. He delivered people from the oppression of the devil. He restored people's lives. He put them back together again. That's right. The works that I do, he that believeth on me, regarding me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So whatever you read that Jesus Christ did, that possibility is available to us. If we will apply ourselves to learn how to manifest the power of God, the Word of God instructs us in the operation of the manifestations of the Spirit. We can look at record after record that shows us how God worked with people. For example, revelation could be a still small voice, but not always. You could see the revelation. God could show you a vision. That's right. What about Isaiah? I'll guarantee you that was no still small voice. Read the record in the opening chapters of Isaiah when God gave him revelation. Yeah, it was pretty dynamic. So it's up to God how he reveals himself to you, how he works with you. But it's going to be in a way that he makes known to you. You won't have to guess about it. That's right. It'll be clear. You just have to grow in confidence and in our competency to operate it. Look at the rest of the verse here. So we can do the same works that he did. And then it says, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That's what made it possible. He fulfilled all the word of God, went to his Father. He sent the promise of the Father. So we can do the works he did, and he made salvation, the new birth available. He made it available to be born again of God's Spirit. He can work with you to minister that new birth to people. And it takes that. It takes getting to a person's heart. God works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And He does that by these nine manifestations. And it brings the profit that He desires for people. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. So we can do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater. It's all possible for all of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is one of my favorites. Verse 1. Follow after charity, which is the love of God, and desire spiritual scratch gifts, spiritual matters, but more and more that you may prophesy. Why? Because that's going to edify people when the church is called together. It explains it in verse 2. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue, scratch unknown, it's unknown to the person speaking. He that speaketh in a tongue speaks not unto men, but unto who? God. Wow. For no man understands. The man speaking does not understand. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks what? Mysteries. Who are you speaking to when you speak in tongues? Every single time you speak in tongues, you have an audience with the Father. Yeah, power from on high. Not a bad spirit-to-spirit relationship, huh? It sure is. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 18. For through him, speaking of Jesus Christ, we both, speaking of Jews and Gentiles, have what? Access by one Spirit unto the Father. You have access to the Father by that Spirit. And if you speak in tongues, you are speaking directly to the Father. 3:12. In whom Christ Jesus, our Lord, we have boldness and access with what? Confidence by the faith or believing of Him, by the right way of believing that's in Him. We have access to the Father, and we have access with confidence. And you can just speak what's on your heart. That's how bold you can be, because you can speak in tongues. Spirit to spirit, you're speaking to your Heavenly Father. Look at chapter 6 of Ephesians. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, how? In the Spirit. And watching thereunto. Stay on watch with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Boy, we can operate that manifestation all we want. And the more you operate it, the better you're going to get at interpretation and prophecy, and the more revelation you'll receive. You're not going to get a lot of revelation if you don't speak in tongues much. So we've got the godly prophet of God's word, which he put in writing for us. And we have the Spirit, when manifested, that brings us profit. Let's look at Romans 8 again. I'll tie this up a little bit. Romans 8, And let's pick it up in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the usage here of Spirit is the totality of the Spirit. It includes your sonship rights, your privileges as a child of God, and the ability that produces the manifestations. It's the whole package. We're led by the Spirit, the totality, the whole package that you receive in the new birth. Led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When you renew your mind, then you're being led by the Spirit of God. When you operate your access to the Father and you speak in tongues, well, there it is again. You're being led by the Spirit of God. If He energizes the manifestations in you, well, you're being led by the Spirit of God. If you use your privileges like going to the throne of grace in time of need, well, you're being led by the Spirit of God. You see it? It's the whole package. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's a devil spirit. It just ties people up in knots. It makes them afraid of their own shadow. It keeps them from walking into the things of God. We didn't receive a spirit of bondage that causes us to fear. But you have lambanoed. You have received a spirit that makes you sons. It's a spirit of sonship. Euthesia. You can be placed as a son by adoption, or you can be placed by birth. What did Jesus Christ say in John 3? You must be born again. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We weren't placed as sons of God by adoption. They were in the Old Testament, but we were born again of God's Spirit, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is Aramaic. It means father. It's a term of endearment between a child and their father. Daddy, daddy. 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, our inner being, that we are what? The children of God. When we manifest that Spirit that we receive in the new birth, we speak in tongues. It's the proof of our sonship. It's the proof we have eternal life. It's the proof of our coming inheritance. That's right. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, our inner being, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How fabulous is that? That's right. How are these manifestations best utilized? Look at 1 Corinthians 13. And we'll just read it together to close. So we have the godly prophet of the Word of God, and we have the godly prophet produced by the manifestation of the Spirit. And if we will simply get to the place that we walk in God's love, just love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, we won't have any problem with God energizing His Spirit to deliver people. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, which is the love of God, agape, I am become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal, just a lot of noise. And though I have prophecy, it's not the gift, it's the manifestation, and understand all mysteries, well, that's word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all knowledge. Though I have all faith or believing so that I could remove mountains, well, that would be the manifestation of believing and miracles, and have not the love of God, I am nothing. I'm the loser. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned like a living sacrifice, and have not the love of God, it profits who? Me nothing. Well, the people that got the abundant sharing might get blessed, and the people who got the service might be blessed, but it wouldn't profit me, except I do it in love. The charity, the love of God, suffers long, and it's kind. And the charity envies not, and the charity vaunts not itself, is not egotistical, it's not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Wow. That's the love of God. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. The truth is what God reveals in His Word. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things concerning the truth. The charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, that's a manifestation, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there's knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that's Christ, then that which is in part shall be done away. You won't need manifestations in the new body. You're going to have a glorious new body like Christ. And these nine manifestations are just going to vanish away. We'll have much more power in that new body. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abides faith or believing, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is the love, the charity, the love of God. That's right. So I thank God we've got His Word, and I thank God He's empowered us with the nine manifestations. So go get them. Just walk in the love of God and ask Him what to do, and He will direct you. Then you'll see great signs, miracles, and wonders in your life, and have a more abundant life. Father, we thank You for Your great love, for Your leading, Your guiding. Father, that You would have us as Your kids and allow us to walk with You. Thank You for that goodness to us and for Your faithfulness, that You never leave us, You'll never desert us. Just watch over Your people and keep them this week, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, I ask. Amen. Good night. Bless you. I love you. Have a wonderful week.